Hey, what's going on? It's Bill Burr, and it's time for the Monday Morning Podcast for Monday, January 29th, 2018. What's going on? How are you? All right. Well, this was a this would have been a boring Sunday because there was, you know, there's no football, right? They got the you got the week off in between there, between the Super Bowl and the championship games. They had the Pro Bowl today, which was kind of cool. It looked like football in the future where they would, you know, they'd start to tackle somebody and they're like, all right. You know, I don't know if that's the concussion thing or the Me Too. I don't know what it is. He does not want you touching him. Do not throw him to the ground. I have a special guest to liven up my Sunday there.
That's right there.
Oh, jeez. It's the one and only Todd Rex, for Christ's sake. Todd, you are one of my favorite fucking people in this business, and you are one of my favorite comedians, so it is a pleasure.
Man. Dude, I feel the feeling is mutual, man.
You don't have to compliment me on this.
You're one of my idols, man.
Dude, you are the silliest fucking dude. You make me feel mature. That's what I like about you. Todd Rex, okay.
Yes.
Todd Rex, who checks off a lot of boxes in this day of caring.
That's right.
You do.
I don't even know what that means.
I don't even know what it means either. I'm just trying to be progressive. You would think that somebody would come his fucking way and finally tap the magic wand on his head.
And make something happen.
And say, Todd, you've been destroying at least three times as hard as 10 times of the fucking, whatever the math is, all the fucking comics out there. I love working with you, but I hate following you. You fucking murder. Finally, this fucking asshole, he got himself a special that he's taping, and he needs some people to come down, and then you can, you know, go on, and I can open for you, make you sweat a little there.
No, not a chance.
All right. He's going to be at the Satellite Theater in Silver Lake. It's the SatelliteLA.com for tickets.
That's right.
February 11th. You're going to be doing the show.
It's a Sunday there, but you should come out there and support there.
All right. Sunday, which is a week after the Super Bowl, right? So everybody knows.
Exactly.
7:30 and 9:30.
Two shows.
So you're going to go out there, you knock the first one out, you go, all right, I got it. And then the next one, you just go off.
Cruise. Is that what you do when you do yours? You button up, make sure the first one's tightened up, and then...
I spend the whole night trying to forget that I'm taping one.
Really?
And stop trying to think like, oh my God, I missed that tag. Fuck, that needed to be documented in the comedy universe. I just try to look at it like, all right, this is just, I'm just documenting where my hour was on this night, and this is how it came out. And then once you do that, because every night when you go up there, I don't know about you, but I mean, I'm constantly fucking up jokes. Are constantly leaving shit out, and then it adds to something else.
Right.
And I never think of it. Never think about it. Like, I never thought to get you a glass of water before you sat here for a fucking hour. What an idiot. I might have to hit pause here in a minute. But
no, I'm good.
That's just how I had to do it that way, just because
I wanted to think about your... I wanted to ask you about your thought process, because I was curious. Like, I know that the night before, I'm going to be a wreck, you know, just thinking about it and making sure.
All the funny guys worry. Hacks don't worry. Hacks are already fucking working on their next hacky hour. Yeah, they're not even fucking nervous. And they'll go off stage with their shitty material and be like, dude, I fucking crushed.
Right.
I crushed. And every funny guy's like, was it good? Oh my God, that was terrible. I do that every time. I just really, in a roundabout way, complimented myself. I know I got a ways to go, people. I got
a beast. You're one of them dead beasts.
Yeah, so I someone told me, I think Louis C.K. told me, and I think he heard this from fucking Bill Cosby. How funny is that? He heard that you work this hard to get there. Don't forget to have fun.
Right.
So make sure, because if you're having fun, that's going to be, you're going to feel better about it afterwards.
Right.
If you're someone who nitpicks at himself, there's no way you're going to be happy at the end of it. So just be forgiving.
Right.
Just be the fucking silly, fucking hilarious guy you are. You'll be fine.
Yeah. I'm not really too worried about it, but I just want to make sure that
I already can tell you worry about it. You seem tighter than usual.
Yeah, jeez. Well, I'm doing your podcast. This is kind of a big deal for me, too. I feel like I'm...
It is. Didn't the whole thing, now that you've peeked behind the curtain, it's just me with a fucking $99 mixer from Guitar Santa.
We're sitting here on the couch like Ernie and Bert.
I know. All I did to prepare for you is I turned on the AC and I squirted some Febreze. That's it. I know. Everybody has these fancy fucking studios. I just did I did Your Mom's House with Tom Segura and Christina Brzezinski. I just did theirs, and they have this whole fucking studio. Rogan has like a literally like a Stern level studio.
Jeez.
And I should step it up at some point.
Yeah, but your house is dope. I don't know. No one can see it, but your house is dope.
So oh, thank you. It wasn't when I bought it, but now that I've dumped all this money into it and I can never get my money back. Yeah, it is pretty good. I this house was like almost 100 years old when I got it. Almost 90 years old,
I should
say. You
had some pretty cool people living here before, though, right?
Yeah, I don't want to talk about that, though, because then people will fucking figure out where I live.
Oh, yeah.
I already have to fucking edit out one of the comments you made earlier that will... Dude, people are fucking lunatics, I'll tell you later. It was just enough of something to make some psycho just turn around and face his speaker and start writing down information. But I'm a paranoid dude.
That's so funny.
Yeah. Anyways, what the fuck were we just talking about? My ADD. I don't know either. I have no idea. Have you been watching any hockey? Did you see Marchand's elbow?
No, dude.
It was
like
a thing of beauty.
Really?
It was a thing. It was perfect, filthy.
Really? He got tripped. Dudes in the league.
I know. He's the size of Barney Rubble, so nobody. he's not going to get called out. Like Ulf was probably one of the worst, but dude, he was. And I love Marchand, and I love the fucking Bruins.
I
love him. Come on, but the thing is, I don't like that aspect, like doing that shit.
Did you see when Subban destroyed him?
Oh, dude.
My God.
Oh.
That was a brutal hit.
Oh, I thought he had, like, internal bleeding after
dude,
that.
Dude, it looked like he just...
Because he kept skating, but he kept skating.
Over.
Yeah, and he was just going like, and it seemed like beyond... the thing about PK, well, I'm so glad he plays for Nashville and not for Montreal anymore, he used to get us... all the time, and everybody knew that was his move. And I don't know why no one could. He just knew exactly when your head was down for a second. It was two crossovers. He was inside, and then all of a sudden, he was just in front of you.
Right.
And he just ended your fucking life for like, I don't know, like two shifts. But I always like that. I never take it to the point if there's a guy on a team that I don't like.
Right.
You know, like when Derek Jeter played for the Yankees, I couldn't get myself to get to the point of like actually hating him. It's like the guy's great.
Right. He is good.
Yeah. All you're saying is, I wish this guy was on my team.
Yeah. So, I've been watching some hockey, watching my son play hockey. He's a beast, of course.
I know. You showed me all the video of him.
Yeah.
And he like picked it up in two. So he was like playing drums or something, right?
Yeah. He also plays the drums too.
And he plays drums and he plays hockey. Jesus. Yeah. The kid's going to be crushing it.
He's going to get more, leg than I am.
You're going to be a fucking grandfather by the time this special comes out.
Oh, jeez.
Where you been working to?
I just flew back today from Phoenix. I was with Craig Robinson. You know, I've been talking with him for like a couple of years now when he's not shooting television shows.
Which is all the fucking time that guy works.
All the time, dear.
Where were you guys working?
We were working at Stand Up Live in Phoenix.
Oh, okay. I know that place.
Yeah, 5 sold-out shows. It was fantastic. They had a ball.
I did the, you know what's funny? That's fucking nuts about as far as like that downtown area, how lively it is.
Yeah.
If there's something going on. But the second the workday ends, like during the week, if you're there, like at 5
like
o'clock.
Ghost town.
Yeah, it's fucking creepy.
Yeah,
if the Suns don't have a game.
Right.
It's over.
Right. Yeah, I love it, though. I mean, I couldn't live there, I don't think, but I had a really good time there. I had a good time traveling with you, though, when we went down south. I was just, like, reading some comments about, give me the keys. Just give us the keys.
Oh, yeah, that lady. I thought about that the other day. We went to check in that hotel, and that lady was just fucking with the instructions. Our gym is on the 4th floor. It's open from 9 to 9. There's a continental breakfast, blah, 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 blah. Like, and I'm sitting there going, like, oh, my God, how long is this going to take? And she's in the middle of eating. She goes, just give us the keys. She got, like, offended.
She was mad for real. Yeah, she was mad.
Dude, I fucking was laughing like I was in high school, man. It was one of those laughs. I was just like, because what it was the fact that she didn't find it funny.
Right.
It was already hilarious. But the fact that she didn't find it funny, it hurt her feelings. She didn't know how to deal with it. And then she got mad all in like fucking like half a second.
Right.
Then I felt like I was in class again where it's like, oh, my God, don't start fucking laughing or you're gonna get like detention or something. Yeah. You also took me to that fucking that barbecue place or something.
Oh, yeah. What is it called? Like, was it
prison? Don't say the name of it because it was terrible.
Well, what, the first place we went to, then we went to the
We went to that one where it was a giant fucking place, and they had like 40 fried murdered chickens that you could see. God. You don't remember that place? Uh-huh. It was gigantic. You know, oh my God, this place is fucking unbelievable.
Is that the place where you ate, and then we went to the NASCAR track, and then you were like T-Rex wishing you had a salad? Oh.
Where was that in?
I was in Charlotte.
That was Charlotte. Okay, and we did the NASCAR experience.
That was very cool. That was talking about crushing it. That dude who was driving us around, he's 20 years old, named Dylan. Remember that?
I know, and he weighs as much as a jockey.
Right.
Because he doesn't want to slow the car down. I couldn't believe what a piece of shit a race car looks like walk up to it. I've seen Formula One cars up close. They look like absolute, like, it looks like if you've stepped on it, the whole thing would fall apart. Because all it is, it's just an engine, suspension, and tires, and everything else is just the lightest.
Right.
Remember, did you see the gas pedal?
Was just, it was like a stick.
It was like a bent coat hanger. It's like, real, exactly like if you had like that, just the floor thing, whatever that pedal is to rest your foot on. If you have that, that's the difference between you, like, I guess, winning the race or coming in like third.
Right.
Because that fucking thing's sitting there.
The piece of rubber that's going to weigh the car down a little.
NASCAR's not doing well.
It's not? The numbers are down?
No. When I went to the Daytona 500, they painted the seats, like every other seat. Like they had like three colors and they would paint them.
To make it look like there's people in the seats with cameras flying by.
And you know who used to have it like that was the Minnesota North Stars.
Really?
Used to have seats like that. And I thought it was cool. And now I'm thinking, well, maybe because nobody showed up for the game.
For the games.
And maybe that's why they moved to Dallas. So when I hear all those Minnesota North Star fans still complaining that their team left, I mean, if there was people there, I wouldn't have noticed, right?
Right, exactly. You wouldn't have been able to see the seats.
Ah, they were out there skating on the Thousand Lakes there.
Oh, geez.
Did you watch any of the football?
What's that?
You watch any of the football?
I haven't been watching any football. The only team I like is the Washington Redskins, and they're terrible, number one.
Oh, that's right. You're from Baltimore.
The East Coast, yeah.
How did you become a Redskins fan?
I'm from Silver Spring, Maryland, right over the D.C. line. Like, people always think Baltimore.
Oh, okay.
But, I had grass and shit in my yard. Oh. Two cars. Both parents are around. You know, not saying that that's not available in Baltimore, but people think of the wire in the corner when they think about Baltimore, but that's not where I lived.
Oh, that's why, because that's where I met you. I met you at the Baltimore Improv. With that that long, you had to walk down like that 3/4 of a mile hallway.
The last mile or whatever.
Yeah, that was the worst location ever for a fucking comedy club.
Comedy club, dear.
I was all thrilled. They let me come down there, and they asked me if I wanted to close out the Sunday one time because somebody canceled, and I was all fucking excited, and I drove there from New York City to do it.
Oh, my God.
And I was like, I'm going to get in with the improvs. And I showed up, and there was like 10 people there, and the owner was talking to the booker, never talked to me, and then walked out while I was on stage. And I remember being on stage, like, I think I knew when I was on stage because I was kind of glancing over, like, okay, well,
guy works at Sonic Burger.
Oh man, it was really fucking annoying. I don't know why anybody who ran a club, why the fuck you would ever do that, because you don't know who's coming down.
Right.
And for all you know, they're going to go on, you know, and do something. The fact that I was driving down from, he didn't even say thanks. Classic fucking club managers, fat, big 50-inch fucking waist.
Oh my.
You know what I mean? With those slacks, that giant fucking belt.
Right. The gabardine, whatever they're called. What are those slacks called? Action slacks?
Yeah, the action slacks.
Slacks, dear.
Yeah, I ran into a number of those fucking people. That's my big thing, though, this year. Dude, you know, I'm turning 50.
Are you really?
I'm turning 50 in June.
I turn 49 in May.
You do? All right there, youngster.
Right behind you there.
You want to know what the next year of your life's going to be like?
Hopefully it's going to be something like yours.
No, well, I've decided that I'm going to get myself that, like, rather than looking at 50 with dread.
Right.
Which I'm really not, considering, I, you know, so many of my friends have fucking died, didn't even make it, so.
Holy shit. You know Joe Recca in D.C.?
Don't tell me he died.
I swear to God he did, yeah.
No, he didn't.
Yes, he did last weekend, last Sunday.
He fucking died?
Yeah. Yeah.
Of what?
There was, like, some kind of cardiac event. One of his friends was, like, coming from Connecticut, going down to Florida. Hadn't seen Joe in, like, 15 years. Stopped by his house, and they were going to go to the Improv to watch Lavelle Crawford. And Joe said he had a headache and went upstairs to take some like aspirin or whatever and like sat on the bed and like laid back and croaked while his buddy was there that he hadn't seen in 15 years.
What?
Yeah, isn't that crazy?
Oh, my dude, that guy had one of my favorite fucking jokes.
What about the kung fu?
No, the joke he did when he was having unprotected sex with the woman. And, you know, he goes, I'm doing my thing and I'm doing my thing. She goes, Joe, don't you come at me. Don't you come at me, Joe. Joe, goddamn you, don't come at me. And he goes, I blocks all that out.
Yo, Joe was hilarious.
I haven't seen him in fucking, I haven't seen him in like 15 years.
It's going to be even longer than that now.
Oh, jeez. Ah, fuck.
Yeah. But we're getting at that age where people are just dying. And so, you know what's really fucked up is that
no, you know what it
people
is?
Are dying that I don't, it's not even like shocking to me anymore. You
yeah.
know what I mean? Like when I hear it now, I used to be like, oh my God. But I was at my son's hockey game when someone called me and he was like, yo, Joe Recondine. And I was like, you serious? And he was like, yeah. But I said, how? And he's like, I don't know. I'll find out. And I was like, all right, call me back. I'm at my son's hockey game.
Well,
5 years ago,
you know what it, you know what it is the first wave that goes is it's usually be bad genetics, bad luck, or bad diet, and then after that, it's like if you had half a bad diet, half bad genetics. It's just literally like when the Grim Reaper's going to get you. So speaking right. of that, becoming a dad at this point, like as fucking old as I am, I got you know, I've cut back on the boozing. Yeah. And so I'm trying to get myself down to my fucking to my fighting weight and actually maybe get
you
a person.
Look good, you look fit.
Yeah, I took 4 months off of booze.
Yeah.
And then for the last month, I've been drinking like lightly. But I don't know. I think I'm just too old now because I took those fucking 4 months off and now going back to it, just I get two and the next I drink two and I'm just like banged up the next day.
Yeah.
So. I don't know. I think I'm going to go. I was joking that I'm going to go. I'm going to be like Sting in my 50s. Just do like fucking Pilates and yoga. And
tantric sex, yeah, dude.
Try to learn how to cum for 40 minutes. That's how a lot of his music is recorded. A lot of people don't know that. When it's actually him coming. In the beginning of Synchronicity. Is that it? Whoa!
Whoa!
Yeah, that's him. That's him. they record him.
And they record him?
They record him banging his wife, right, for the first 40 minutes. And then the last 5 minutes, he just sings the song. And right as he comes, that's the hook. Gordon Sumner.
Gordon Sumner there.
Oh, jeez. I saw him at the Hollywood Bowl with, I almost said Gaylord Perry. That's a pitcher.
Yeah.
Who's the guy from Genesis that sang Sledgehammer? Peter Gabriel.
Peter Gabriel, yeah.
Yeah.
He's a beast.
Yeah, they both were fucking awesome, and they had like, and I was like, all right, who's gonna open, who's gonna fucking close, and they just one would sing a song, and then the next one come out and sing a song, and then they were just both out there, and if it was the other person's song, they would just sing back up.
Really?
Oh yeah,
that's dope.
Peter Gabriel had like synchronized dance moves and shit. It was fucking, and in the end, they were bad, but that was part of the joke. But right. You could just see he didn't give a fuck. Like it was like two guys.
His daughter plays with him too sometimes.
Is that right?
Plays like the violin, and she comes out and crushes on the violin.
I'm trying to remember if he had a violinist. I just know that he was just like the guy who just aged and said "fuck it."
Right.
Where Sting was, you know, still in shape and shit. So right.
Peter Gabriel look terrible now.
Oh, dude, he came out looking like, you know, that headliner that didn't make it, who just doesn't give a fuck anymore, comes out with, like, wearing, like, the same sweatsuit
right.
he was wearing when you picked him up at the airport.
Oh, my
just
God.
Just walks on stage, maybe put a hat on. Right. he had a big onesie on.
Oh, my God.
And then Sting always has one of those fucking, those clothes that looks like he's going to do a, what was that movie he did with Tina Turner where she shaved the side of her head?
Oh my, Thunderdome.
I feel like he got a bunch of clothes from that movie that still fit him.
Right, he still has the trailer, the wardrobe trailer.
Like, all that mesh Spider-Man looking shit. Flashy underwear peeking out of the back.
Like a chain mail shirt.
Yeah. Well, I saw those guys. They fucking, they absolutely killed it here. I got to make sure, but 20 minutes in, at some point I do have to read a little bit of advertising, but, dude, who's your fucking internet provider?
AT&T.
Mine is just, it's just not happening for me here. I think I don't even know who I have. Nia handles that, and it's just been on the fritz. I got to drive.
It's been on the fritz.
I got to drive over to Starbucks, buy something. Starbucks, I don't drink coffee, all right? I mean, I guess the coffee has to be amazing with
you're
the line.
As strong as it is, you don't need any caffeine.
Oh, I know. I'm the worst.
You're like wired as hell.
I'm the worst, dude. I need like the reverse of that. But you go in there, all of their food just sucks. All of their food just fucking sucks. All right, let me read a little advertising here. How much time are you going to do on your special?
I'm doing an hour.
Hour, that's it.
Doing an hour, maybe a little longer, so we can cut it down.
I'll do as little long as I would do, like whatever you want it to be. I would only do a little bit more than that.
Yeah,
because it makes your life so much easier. If you want to do an hour special, do like an hour and 10. Then you usually just lift a bit or two.
The same guys that are shooting my special shot Orny Adams' special that he just did, and they said that Orny did like an hour and 20 minutes, and that they wanted to cut it down to an hour because Showtime wasn't buying an hour 20 minute specials; they were just buying hour specials.
Oh, then you got to start killing your babies. That's the worst. But
he refused to cut it, and so they just took it at an hour and 20. So if you watch the special that's on right now, that's on Showtime right now, it's an hour and 20 minutes.
Jesus, Orny Adams telling the business which way it's going. Wow.
Call the
show. I would have been like, all right, I'll cut it down. All right. Oh, look. Oh, zip. Recruiter. All right. Talk about the challenge of finding great talent. Well, usually I have a hack on here, but this week I found Todd Rex. Thank you. I found you on Zip Recruiter. I looked up hilarious guys shooting a special in fucking Silver Lake. All right, ZipRecruiter knew there was a smarter way, so they built a platform that finds the right job candidates for you. ZipRecruiter learns what you're looking for, identifies people with the right experience, and invites them to apply to your job. If read by the wrong person, this would seem really racist, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
These invitations have revolutionized how you find your hire. In fact, 80% of the employees who post on Zip get a quality candidate through the site in just one day. You got to do something interesting or they won't listen to it. And ZipRecruiter doesn't stop there. They even spotlight the strongest applications you receive, so you never miss a great match. The right candidates are out there. ZipRecruiter is how you find them. Businesses of all sides trust Zip for using their hire needs. See, now you're doing it. Now, right now, my listeners can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/burr. That's ZipRecruiter.com/burr. Hey! ZipRecruiter.com/burr, the smartest way to hire. Oh, Jesus, look who's here. But up, MeUndies, no more sweaty balls. MeUndies, you can buy them at the fucking mall. I'm on my podcast with Todd Rex. He's shooting a special. What the hex? Go down and get yourself some fucking tickets and your balls will feel great in these underwears. All right. You want to look good? Hey, Todd, do you want to look good with your significant other?
I do.
This Valentine's Day? You want your fucking junk to be sliding around in some silky smooth shit here? Then check out MeUndies matching pairs. Would you ever do this with your wife? A unique fun gift for you and your Valentine. They're the perfect balance of comfort, fit, and exciting prints. Don't spend another Valentine's Day giving the same old gift. Check out MeUndies.com. Find the best match for your match. MeUndies are the most comfortable and fun undies you and your significant other will ever own. They're made from the softest materials on earth. We're talking 3 times softer than cotton. And I believe that at this point because the cotton lobby has never debated this.
Fetus foreskin. It's made out of fetus foreskin.
I heard that. That they dip in organic dyes so it doesn't give you ball cancer. This Valentine's Day, get your partner a gift that's for the both of you. Order by February 5th at 10 a.m. for free standard shipping so your gift arrives in time. Matching pairs are fun, thoughtful, comfortable gift. They're going back in. They should have ended it right there. It's a comfortable gift you share with your significant other. 100% satisfaction guarantee. MeUndies guarantees you and your significant other will love your matching pairs or your money back. You know what they should do next year? They should have everybody, whoever sends in the cutest picture
of them in their
matching pairs gets a free trip to matching Paris.
Oh,
no?
God, matching Paris.
Nothing? To get your 20% off, that was just an idea, people. That's not an actual offer, so don't fucking send people in with your goddamn...
Gilbert said.
With your spare tire hanging over your silk johns there. Long Johns, to get your 20% off your matching pair, free shipping, 100% satisfaction guarantee, go to MeUndies.com. That's MeUndies.com. Oh, sorry. MeUndies.com/Burr. That's MeUndies.com/Burr. This will be the best Valentine's Day gift that you will give. Start matching your bottom half to your top better half. Go to MeUndies.com/Burr right now.
Do you have a pair of promotional here?
They gave me some.
Did they really?
Yeah.
Did you rock them?
I definitely wore them, but they gave me the Greg Louganis cut on one of them. The West Hollywood cut there. So I was not in gay male shape when I got him, so I did not look good. I'm trying to get it in as good a shape as those fellas down there. But who used to have the pit like that? I want to get in shape. I want to get in gay shape. Because I got a buddy of mine. All he does is he just loses like fucking 10 pounds. And then he just sort of pushes down his shirt going, dude, I look good. You know, you like pat your stomach. Right. I think I'm looking all right. Do you and your wife, do you guys,
we have four kids. Of course we do.
No. Do you guys celebrate Valentine's Day? Is there
no.
At this point?
No.
How long you guys been together?
Since 95.
That's great, man.
Yeah.
Look at you. 23 years.
Yeah, but it took me till 2004 to tie the knot there.
Oh, yeah.
Wanted to make sure she was the one there.
So how many years was that?
Like 10 years there, man.
Wait, 2000 what? 2004. So that's 9 years.
Yeah.
Almost all right. 10 years, all right. It took me... What was it? Dude, it took me 9 years, too.
Really?
The fuck, yeah. Yeah. Stupid. I knew in 9 months, but I was just like, I don't know. Right. And then also... My wife was a little bit of a commitment phobe. We're both like commitment phobes, yet totally like relationship people. So it totally worked. You know what I mean?
Right.
So we lived our whole Sid and Nancy fucking lifestyle for a while, you know, not married, no kids, partying.
Right.
Had a great time.
Yeah, we did that for a while too.
Hit all the water parks.
With the matching t-shirts.
Oh yeah. Matching me undies.
It took me forever to propose to her, but I'm going to tell you why it happened. I went out partying with friends of mine one night, and I ended up spending the night out in Virginia. And I was on my way back the next day at like 10 a.m., and my wife was furious. She was my girlfriend at the time. We were living together, and she was furious. And she called me. She already left me a message, and I checked the message, and then she called me again when we were driving home.
Oh, no.
And so when I picked up the phone, I just said, hey, I just was out here thinking with my friends. The reason I was like, I'm out here with my friends to spend the night is like, I was talking to a man. I think I'm ready to settle down and marry you.
Wow. Mad was she that you had to come up with that? Does she know that? She better.
She will now when she listens to this.
No way. Oh, dude, I want to get you in trouble.
No,
so not, what did she do?
What's that? She was like, really?
And oh,
I was like,
my God.
Oh, my God. I can't wait for you to come home. And I was like, dude, I didn't want to have a fight when I got home for spending the night out. So, yeah, so that defused the whole, like, fight that was coming up.
And set you up for another 1,000 more.
Oh, jeez.
Over the next year there. I just, why the fuck did I do it? I finally just realized... yeah, I just knew she was going to leave.
Like some days, off the pot.
No, it was some days when I was mad at her, I would fantasize about breaking up. But even in the fantasy of her breaking up, when she would walk out, even in the fantasy of that, I would still go, no. So I was like, all right, I got to make. Oh yeah, that was Paul Verzi helped me get through that. Paul Verzi has really? Actually helped a number of comedians get over that. Like, that's thing, you know, you think it's a mountain, it's you just stepping up on the curb, but it's just like, dude, where are you going?
Right. What are you doing?
You know, she's going to be so happy. You're going to be happy. Once you get through the fucking vows and all of that bullshit, then you just had a party with all of your friends and it's fucking great. He was 100% fucking right. So, yes. I was going to ask you, do you guys go out on Valentine's Day?
No, we don't really celebrate. Like, I don't get our chocolates or nothing like that or cards. You know, we might... You know, we have the kids, so a lot of the times we're just we'll wait till the kids go to sleep, and then we'll like have a bottle of wine and watch a movie or something downstairs, some corny like that.
No, that's way better.
We're going out to dinner. Go out to dinner, like, dude, we're so old now. Sometimes it feels like we want to go out and have a good time, so we're gonna go out to dinner and then go into Hollywood and get some drinks and maybe go to a dance club or whatever. That by the time we're done eating dinner, we're like, you want to just go home?
Oh, and it's how psyched are you when the other person says that?
Yeah.
It's just like, yes.
Yes, I do just want to go. I don't want to go to Hollywood right now.
Yeah, like I for years would rather drink at home. I got better stuff here than they got out at the right. bar. They always have some shit stuff.
And they're trying to rape you on the price also.
Yeah. And once you're with the person you're going to be with, that they got the worst booze. I'm not interested in meeting anybody.
Right.
So all I'm going to do is go out there, and then I got to deal with, like, how am I getting fucking home? This is before, like, Uber and all that shit. I've been drinking at home.
Yeah.
For years.
You always
years.
Have some, you always have some, like, yeah, we have, what, bourbon?
I have bourbon, whiskey, scotch, yeah, like, I think tequila.
You had this really smoky, I think, whiskey one time I was here, didn't you?
It was probably a scotch.
Scotch?
It was like really yeah, was smoky. It good?
Yeah, it was good.
Oh, did we smoke cigars? Or no?
No, I don't think we did.
Because that's what I was thinking. My daughter just had her first birthday, and I was looking at the house. Dude, we had like 16 kids over here.
Really?
All our friends have kids now. Because, you know, once you have a kid, all your friends who don't have kids, it's just like they keep living their rock star lives, right. And you're like, you get like six more calls, like, I gotta watch the kid, and you just fade out.
They start disappearing over the horizon.
You just fade out, like that band member who's on the first album, and you're always like, whatever fucking happened to that guy? You know? Then they never see that guy until like the VH1 Behind the Music, and he's just like, all right, you know, I didn't even know they were putting out a second album. They just never called me, and all of a sudden I was just like, right, guess I'm out. So I was looking around the living room, and we had like 16 little kids in there.
Oh,
like,
my God.
Ages 8 and under. Yeah, and just like toys
galore, right.
And just shit all over the place. And I was just looking, thinking, like, you know, 18 months ago, this would have been five of my friends. We would have been getting shit-faced,
right.
Watching a game and smoking cigars, and just how much it changes in a good way. Like, we went to the park today for the first time. I went over, I put her on the swing and shit. She loved it.
Right.
Oh, yeah, screaming.
It's the greatest. You got to take pictures and video of that, man, because it goes by so fast, and you'll look back at those pictures with a tear in your eye.
Oh, I know, no, I'm already doing it. I'm already, like, there's a part of me that's, like, as psyched as I am to be a dad, there was a mild depression with her turning one.
Right.
Going like, she's not a baby anymore, man. She's a toddler.
And next year she turns two. Her age doubled in a year.
Yeah. No, but I see why people keep having babies, because you just want to keep hitting reset.
Right.
Because it's so fucking awesome. And I like talking in a positive way about it.
Right.
Because when my wife got pregnant, just so many people said all this negative shit. Like, oh, dude, yeah, no more
it's
drinking.
Over. It's over for you.
Yeah, no more getting hookers and fucking big. No more going to Thailand and seeing what's up over there. Like, all this degenerate shit. And I was just like,
right.
Yeah.
This is way better than that shit, though.
Yes. Yeah. No, today we were over there, and it was just like, I was having the best time. And I, you know, it was, yeah, it was like good, clean fun. I was actually getting a little bit of exercise.
Right. Clean air there.
Yeah, she kind of took her first step in the park, which was cool.
Right.
And so now we figured out what the motivation tactic was to get her going. Dude, I'll tell you what's fucked up, though, is the definition of organic in the dictionary versus the definition of organic within the food industry.
Right.
Like, they literally changed it, like, with law. What organic means. Because I know when we're giving her, like, poisonous shit,
right.
Is she's fucking so excited to eat it. Like,
what do you give her, the real organic shit?
No. No, the shit that they're calling organic, but it's really got, like, fucking this, like they try to get you addicted to it, like cigarettes.
Right.
The same fucking thing. So we had these little puffs that said organic on them, and I just noticed that, like, we would have, like, really good food, and she would start pointing at the other ones like a lab rat. And then one time I went to reach for the can, and she started, like, hopping up, God. Man.
Oh, shit.
Like, you know, give me a hit. So
she needed her fix.
Yeah, so, we phased those out. That's not true. We have one more can down, so we're going to wean her off. And then, so, you know, she's a kid. As long as she doesn't see it, she's not going to be thinking of them.
Right.
But that's the thing that can also drive you nuts is that type of shit. And then if you have any sort of friend with a kid in your life that is totally up on all these issues, and then they just come to you. It's like a fucking, it's like this cloud of fear that they just dump on you.
Yeah.
Go to this website. You have to fucking read.
But we have friends like that, or at least a couple, and they're fucking annoying. And it's like, and even though our kid likes their kid, we have to, like, cut them back a little bit. And my daughter's like, well, when is she coming over? And I'm like, if the kid comes over, it's fine, but I can't have the parents come over here too. Like, did you get your kids vaccinated?
How do you handle that? Because that's what I realize now is that you can have, like, you can be friends with people, like a couple. Right. You and your wife are friends with a couple, and then all of a sudden, and they have kids, but you don't have kids, so you're not dealing with them on that level. But then when you have a kid, the relationship changes. Now you, not only do you guys have to, like, get along socially when you go out, you know,
yeah,
you both vibe, you got to kind of on, they got to be within your wheelhouse of how they raise their fucking kid. And if the kid comes over and he's a fucking lunatic,
yeah,
like biting the dog and shit, like, going, what is this caveman? You got to kind of be like, I don't want my kid acting like that.
Right. No, we have, I'm not saying any names because I don't want to alienate any people that are, might be listening to this, but we have one family who has a kid that's just fucking rude. And
oh, yeah, you can't have it.
And I cannot stand, but my kid wants this kid to come over, and we're always like, Jesus Christ, should we let this fucking kid come over? And then, like, maybe they changed over the last 6 months, and they come spend the night, and it's a fucking nightmare.
What are the rules if a kid comes over and he's rude? Like, what can you say now to a fucking kid?
Dude, I started just getting serious with it. I'm like, dude, go back to bed. Go back to bed. Stop fucking waking up every 10 minutes and calling for your mommy. And then when I say, all right, I'm going to call your mommy. And then no, no, don't call my mommy. No, 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 no. I'm like, then, dude, what the fuck are you doing? I don't call.
Do you say fuck?
No.
Because I don't know how I'm not going to be. I'd be like, well, then shut the fuck up. You're being a fucking asshole.
Right. Stop being a little asshole. No, I tell my wife, I'm like, dude, if he gets up one more time, I'm not talking to him. You got to talk to him because I'm going to start getting mad.
Do you remember back in the day, like, your friend's dad said anything, you were afraid of him.
Right.
Yeah.
Hell yeah. Go back to the room and go to bed. Like, oh, shit, this motherfucker's serious.
That needs to come back.
I hate that they call me by my first name. Todd?
No, they don't.
Yes, they do. Todd, I'm scared. Can you call my mommy?
I'm old school.
Right.
I'm old school. You can call me Mr. Burr.
Right.
That's it. Right. Let me fuck. Hey, Bill. Right. You got, what's to eat here?
Right. Right. No, dude.
I would literally be like, what the fuck did you say to me, you little shit?
Right.
I won't say that, but that's what I'll be thinking. So
of course.
As I say, please address me as Mr. Burr. The subtext he will hear is, what the fuck did you say to me, you little shit? And then he'll say to his mother, yeah, you mean man.
Right. Yeah, this one little girl comes over to our house, and she was like, she'll come downstairs, like, sleeping all morning, and then come down in the kitchen where my wife and I are. My daughter's still asleep, and she'll come downstairs before everybody, and she'll be like, what's for breakfast? And my wife was like, well, you know, pancakes and sausage. She was like, yeah, I don't like that stuff. What else is there? And my wife just looks at me and is like, is this bitch serious right now? Like, go the fuck back upstairs.
Yeah, what the fuck? I would love to hear a kid now to say it to my mother.
Right.
My mother would just be, well, that's all there is. I guess, you know, I'll talk to you at lunch.
That's what my wife said. My wife says, I guess you'll just be hungry then, because that's what we're having. And if you don't eat it, you're just going to be hungry. It's amazing how, like, some of these kids are rude as shit. And you say something to the parents, like, yeah, she's a little crazy. She's a wrong little thing. Like, no.
No. That's like when people have a dog that's fucking nuts. Like, I did, but I quarantined the thing when people would come over. Except one time I got a little confident. I watched too many of the Dog Whisperers, and then my friend ended up getting bit. Jay Lawhead got bit by my dog.
Really?
Yeah. He bit him on his calf. Give him a nip.
Yeah, that dog scared the living shit out of me one time. We were downstairs, and she was in a cage.
Oh, yeah.
That dog. I didn't know that she was in there, and I was like walking past, and she was like, went at the cage, with the metal of the cage, and scared the fucking piss out of me.
Oh, yeah.
Like, oh, my God. If that cage was there, I'd be shredded right now.
Yeah. Yeah, she was an adorable hellhound. She loved the hell out of me and about six people.
Yeah.
And everybody else she treated as a fucking intruder. And I would just, you know, it was the smartest, most painful decision I ever made. But I didn't understand that I was still, like, I saw her, you know, the last 2 days in a row. She's in town.
Right. Yeah, that's good that you keep it, you kind of still take care of her in a way, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah,
you
definitely.
Kind of like,
yeah, and I get pictures of her all the time. And when, like, once every 2 months, she'll come to town. And I just take her for a hike every single day.
Is it like, does she remember you, like, the
yep.
same way she did?
She does. Country? She does. And when I go out to where the guy lives, if I show up, she's kind of look, because she's not used to seeing me there. And, you know, first they see the shape, then it's the smell, like the right. whole way the dog brain works or whatever.
Right.
And then she's all back to normal and everything. But I gotta tell you, I was nervous meeting her because of the way she was, because I knew at that point she had bonded with the new person and then might view me as like a threat. I mean, the dog was like, dude, that dog my buddy said that they're
it's Cleo.
Verzi, yeah, Verzi goes, dude, there should be a 30 for 30 on that dog. That dog's life, like how it was abandoned by the LA River. I mean, so many times. Really? This thing should have just been like, you know, like whenever the Olympics come around, they always have like those crazy stories that make you tear up, all the shit that they went through. Like, right. You could do that
on that dog.
Yeah. And like, as a pit bull being that big of a pain in the ass, like that, those things, if those things sneeze, they get put down. It's right. Fucking terrible. But the fact that she's still like living this awesome life makes me feel good. And every time I see her, like, you know, the dude who got him is my former trainer. So, and he just like, she has her first dog friend now.
Yeah.
Every dog she tried to murder, now she's like friends with the dog. But like, they needed like his level talent. Like, as he says jokingly, he said, yeah, I've been slow cooking her. She's not someone that you like, okay, this is how it is. And then boom, to that. Yeah. It's just been this year long thing that she's now finally ready to just, and even when she started hanging out with another dog. There was this whole fucking process that he had to go through and totally keep an eye on my dog. Cause my dog does this shit where like when she's going to attack, she's in the cage. Rah, she did that shit. Right. But she was out in the open. She just made the decision. There was no growling. There was no warning.
Just going right.
She
into
just did
mode.
It. She right. just, yeah, she would just Jesus fucking Christ. Do it. Let me read some of the questions here.
All right.
Todd, by the way, you're gonna fucking, I can already tell, dude, you're already wound up about this thing. You're gonna fucking murder, dude.
Yeah, thank you, dear. I'm excited about it. I really am.
Yeah.
But I feel like this is like, you know, I've been doing this shit for so long and I'm at the age right now, like if it doesn't fucking pop for me right now, it's not gonna fucking happen.
No, that's the old, dude, that's the old way of thinking. You're totally in control.
Right.
I view this business like it's a giant mall. Okay, and I have my little store in the mall. And you walk into my store, hey, how you doing? I tell jokes, I do a podcast,
right.
Got a cartoon. See anything you like? That's what I'm selling. If you don't fucking like it, I get it.
Right.
See you later. But when I first got into this business, I would, you know, it's like you're walking around the mall, you're like, oh my God, they're selling shirts. I got to sell shirts.
Right.
Oh, yeah, fuck, yeah, yeah. They got sneakers. I got to be doing, you try to like do
keep
everything.
Up with the Joneses, right?
Yeah, fuck that, dude. Just
by the way, your cartoon is fucking hilarious, man.
Oh, thank you.
Frank Murphy and Vic are my two favorite guys.
Oh, yeah. You wait for the third season. We're editing like fiends. It's going to be out later on this year. I'm not allowed to say exactly when. I don't have an exact date either, but like Netflix has like, you know, they're like the fucking geniuses of this new
right.
thing. As they, I remember last time when I had a special coming out there, they wanted me to come in to meet with them to like talk about, discuss promoting it. And I'm thinking like, what the fuck are we going to discuss? Throw up a couple of billboards. I'll talk about my podcast. Dude, I went in there.
Right.
Dude, it was like Bill Belichick shit. They're like, yeah, dude, I can't even explain it. Like I went in there going like, this is ridiculous. That this is just, it's just a idiot like me with a bunch of dick jokes. And then I watched them breaking down how they were going about promoting it.
Right.
Like two people who are watching Netflix and their fucking algorithm and all of that shit, judged by what you watched and all that shit. Not saying it's a perfect system.
Right.
It blew my mind.
Jesus.
Fucking blew my mind. No, listen, dude, there's a reason why they're global right now. And it's not from hanging out with me there. All right. Peach cobbler recipe. Hey, Billy Crust King. I like to bake, by the way.
Really?
Yeah, I made my daughter.
You told me that before.
I made my daughter a birthday cake. I'm doing that every year of her life.
Jeez, are you doing the non-GMO with the no gluten?
The non-tasty frosting? Oh, no. There was a bunch of sugar and fucking.
Nice. That's what I'm talking
dead
about.
Dead baby seals in it. that's a big politically incorrect cake.
Baby owl.
All right. Dear Billy Crust King, I am invited to a Super Bowl party. By the way, you know the Patriots are in it again this year.
Yeah.
Do you realize if Tom Brady gets another ring?
Jesus Christ.
Him and Bill Belichick will have more rings than every franchise in the NFL except for the Pittsburgh Steelers. They'll be tied.
Wow.
Than their entire 50
That's
years.
Crazy.
50-something years of every franchise trying to win one.
And Brady doesn't lose, though. I'm just letting you know that right now.
Yeah, he does. He lost twice to the Giants. I think this is going to be...
Just give him the ring.
No. That talk makes me nervous. Dude, the Eagles got a fucking horrifically terrifying fucking running game.
Yeah.
And Nick Foles is not a backup quarterback. That is a starting quarterback who lost his fucking job, and he's coming back like a fucking revenge movie. The defense looks fucking great.
Right.
And I don't think we would have done to the Vikings what they did. So...
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know. I would say take
the... just trying to be humble there to keep the gods happy.
Take the Eagles and the points. That's what I would do with my money. No, dude, Edelman's out. Gronk got a concussion. Amendola had the game of his fucking life. Did you hear that song, the Amendola song? It's like that song Lola.
Really?
Oh, dude, it's
Amendola.
Fucking... Dola. D-O-L-A-Dola.
I haven't heard that.
Now they're playing Nick Foles in the Super Bowl.
That's funny.
In Minnesota. All right. Hey, Billy Crest King, I am invited to a Super Bowl party. Don't worry, just dudes and nobody interested in commercials or halftime shows. Thank God. And I am the designated dessert maker. You were talking about peach cobbler on a Monday morning podcast, but I can't quite remember if it was a recent one or an old one. Anyway, would you mind sharing your recipe with me? Because I want to have the real deal. I'm from Germany and can't figure out if the recipes I find here are any good. Hope to hear from you and go fuck yourself. I just Googled and looked at pictures, and then I found one that looked good.
Looked delicious.
This is what I would say. I would say if the cinnamon, nutmeg, whatever they tell you to fucking put in, add more. Because it'll always be like an eighth of a teaspoon, a quarter. They're going to make it taste good, but they're not going to make it taste great. So definitely be tasting your filling. And don't be afraid to get a little heavy-handed with some of the spices, especially the cinnamon sugar, a little bit of some butter in there. And then I give it a little dusting before I close the pie up there.
Do you really?
Oh, yeah. It's got to be a big, fucking delicious, gooey mess. That's how I do it. Dude, everything's going to be about fucking baking. I'm trying to get you... All right, political relationship advice.
Oh, God. Here we go. All right. I want to hear this one.
I literally unfollow people on Twitter if all they do is talk politics.
Yeah.
Unless you're rational and you're kind of trashing both sides, but like, you know, if you, it's going to be like, you know, so Trump just did this. It's just like, all right.
Tattletaling.
Well, I mean, yeah. I mean, Trump.
One-sided. Right?
Dude, Conan O'Brien had the funniest fucking joke about Trump. They go, how do you handle the whole Trump situation? What's the hardest part about the Trump situation right now? He goes, trying to write a joke that's more absurd than what's actually happening. I like how Trump on Twitter just is just considered normal now, that like a president has the time to, I don't even, like, people shit on me all the time. I don't even get back to him.
Right.
Watching the quote leader of the free world.
Right.
Just so you know, that wasn't a stain on my tie. That was actually a presidential seal. All right. Political relationship advice. Hey, Billy Willie Cuntcock. I don't know what that means. That's one with a little bit of alliteration. Two pair. Love the podcast and, of course, the stand-up. Thank you. You're the only comic that actually makes me bust out laughing. I'll wait till you see Todd's special.
Oh, jeez.
So I'm a 21-year-old guy, and I've been seeing this girl now for about 9 months. She's great, treats me good, loyal, and is pretty. All of these relationship things, they always start off like a horror movie. Well, that was all sunshine, everything. I'm 21, prime of my life.
About to get dark as shit.
Everything's going great. All right. The main problem I have, though, is she is a big Democrat. Big Democratic. His problem is she's a big Democratic, and he's a super conservative. She's black, and I'm almost as white as you. Oh, God, this looks like a fucking bad porno. She gets upset when I post political stuff on Facebook, like a pro video of Trump, but yet she posts all this stuff about kneeling for flags and Obama is all that. Yeah, dude, this relationship's not going to fucking last.
Yeah, it's doomed.
She wouldn't even talk to me when I wore a Trump shirt.
Oh, my
God. Yeah, it's like, dude, like this is a guy who, like, sort of saw how the Nazis were baited into running over somebody with a car, going, well, you know, there's hatred on both sides. Dude, I really wanted to side with you, but, you know, this is like, astoundingly fucking, like...
Yeah,
I respect the fact that you like Trump and all of that shit and you want to wear his t-shirts, but your confusion that she gets upset is a little fucking weird. It pisses me off, but I don't want to ruin the whole relationship over something as dumb as politics.
It's too late.
Since you are already in an interracial relationship and for a lot longer than me, period. What's your advice? Question mark. the lovely Mia, it's Nia with an N, can tell me her two cents as well, even though she'll just side with the chick. Just kidding. Thanks. And as always, go fuck yourself. P.S. Tom Brady's the greatest of all time. Sir, I got to be honest with you. Like, if you don't understand why she is upset, you'd have to try to put yourself in her position and then read some of the shit and some of his opinions, I guess, would be the best way to do it. But, like, you're not just a conservative. If you're, like, rocking the T-shirt, like, you're all in. You know what I mean? Like,
My Jewish girlfriend hates when I wear my swastika T-shirts. Yeah.
Now, do you think that's... It's that bad. I mean, he hasn't run like.
I mean, no. I mean, no. But I'm just saying.
Is he like a Trump? Is he like a Hitler light? What kind of booze would Hitler be?
What's that?
Hitler's got to be like moonshine. So where's Trump? Jaeger.
Trump would be like.
He's a Jaeger bum.
He's like a shitty bourbon.
Goldschlager. Yeah, he's like
aluminum flakes instead of gold flakes.
Yeah, Johnny Walker Red, and there's no
beef eater.
Yeah, there's no fucking whatever soft drink to fucking mix with it. What's the worst when you were broke? What's the worst beer you ever had?
Cresme?
Yeah, college age.
Shit. Milwaukee's Best.
Milwaukee's or
Natty Bo, National Bohemian was pretty damn bad.
Oh, you know what I always hated was fucking. Bush Light.
Wow.
Bush Light was just, like Bush itself was just, yeah, that was just like, yeah, it was like water. And then they watered Pabst. That town. I never got into Pabst Blue Ribbon because I resented the hipsters that were drinking them. Because it used to be this blue collar beer
right.
that all these fucking townies drank. And then all these hipster people were wearing their
flannel shirts.
Well, you know those shirts for a while where they were wearing like the gas station shirt that had somebody else's name on it?
Yeah.
Where they actually had to do the fucking job and they found it in some thrift shop. Like, right. My fantasy was that they ran into the guy who owned the shirt and they just walked up like, yeah, hey, I'm Jim. You know?
That's my shirt.
I just needed a shirt. And then he gets the shit kicked out of him. But most of my fantasies are violent. My advice is to, I don't know, get a bunch of empathy. I don't see this thing working. I just don't see it working. That's going to be like, because you guys are so, if you're that far away from each other, you're not going to get married and have kids.
No.
Yeah, that's like.
Yeah, you're going to be fighting over them politically too. Like, so what, if they're going to be Democrats or conservatives when they grow up.
And then, right.
So that's a whole other can of worms.
Yeah. So enjoy banging her. And
while she lets you,
and then I would fucking, yeah, I would just be like, yeah, but he's also 21. He doesn't know. He generally seems like he doesn't understand unless that was just, you know, sometimes people just lie and they're writing crazy shit. All right. Girlfriend drinks too much. Dear Bill, I was hoping you could help me out with the problem I've been having. I've been living with my girlfriend for almost a year now. We are in our mid to late 20s. Just for some background, everything's going great except for one thing. We work regular 9-to-5 type jobs, which means most of the fun we have is on the weekend. And like most people, we tend to lube up on the liquor while we're out and about or even just staying in. Well, I don't think there's anything wrong with drinking. My girlfriend doesn't know her limits. Often she will drink way too much too early and end up passing out or throwing up, though commonly both will occur.
Wow.
Yeah, she doesn't know how to drink. You got to pace yourself out there. A few examples. She will insist on watching a movie after we've had a few drinks. We finally decide we'll put it on. And then after 15 minutes, she passes out. And then I'll have to stop because, of course, I can't watch it without her. Yeah, well, teach her a lesson. Watch the whole movie and be like, you missed a great one. And in the end, the butler did it. So lay off the booze because I'm going to start fucking doing that to you. Number two, we went to a hockey game a few weeks ago, and when we got to the arena, she ordered me a beer and herself two double gin and tonics.
Oh, my God. Yeah, she has a problem.
We had already had a couple before arriving. She then proceeded to down both of them in 10 minutes before the puck dropped and passed out soon after at a hockey game.
Oh, my God. Yeah, that's a fucking problem.
I had to drag her up to stand for the anthem, and again when they were honoring the troops. This is fucking, this is like a Kristen Wiig character. She then left for the washroom. That's one of my favorite scenes, though, when she gets fucking wasted on the plane in Bridesmaids.
Yeah.
And she just goes, when she goes, motherfuckers, when she's walking out. she then left for the washroom, but came back with two more double gins, a hot dog and a bag of popcorn, which she spilled and blamed it on me.
Oh, my God.
Sounds like an episode of Intervention. Even if I did do it, the first thing you're going to do is snitch on me? All right, that just took a left turn.
Right.
Get the fuck out of here. We're supposed to be a team, but I digress. Sorry for the rant. Last weekend, my God, these are all like bullet pointed, by the way. In the Uber ride home, she proceeded to whip out her tit to try and seduce me. I told her to put it away because she was in no condition and I didn't want to fuck up my Uber rating. Passes out. Wait, what, the passenger gets an Uber rating?
Oh, yeah, the passengers get Uber ratings, too, from the drivers. That might have actually boosted his rating if the driver would have looked back and saw a sloppy titty hanging out.
With fucking gin and tonic on it. Anyways, I don't fuck up my Uber rating. She passes out 30 seconds later and pukes in the elevator on the way up to the apartment. It didn't make it didn't make a lot of a mess, as she was able to hold it back before I got her to the toilet.
Oh, my God.
This guy's just... Okay, the piece... De resistance. She passed out during the Bill Burr show at the Sony Center. How do you pass out for that great man who just came in to entertain us? Just to preface, I had an allergic reaction that morning, was toast, had a little bit of weed before the show, and I was able to be fully alert. But yet you are the one that's falling asleep. Jesus Christ, this is like the fucking War and Peace. This is like Barfly. Saying all this, however, I have to admit that I'm no saint either. I arguably drink much more than she does, but I hold my booze a little better than she does. I probably made her sound worse than she actually is. Are you going to take it all away now?
Right. Don't backpedal now. You already make it look like a drunken mess.
Yeah, but in truth, she's a wonderful girlfriend who cooks with for me, cleans for me, is very beautiful. Well, and fucking live happily ever after.
When she's not three sheets.
She's not puking on the sheets. And as you can tell, is willing to come to a hockey game with me. And yes, she did buy me Bill Burr tickets for my birthday. She's a truly amazing person, and I plan to marry her someday. But this is just getting out of hand, and I want my weekends back. Can you do me a favor and turn that light on? My fucking eyes are shot here. God, the sun's going down here. I'm not trying to have a romantic podcast with you. Let's see here. I've had conversations with her before, and when she's sober, she gets it. But it doesn't stop her when she's drunk, and she will get angry at me when I tell her she's had enough. And I can't stop her from sneaking off to get secret drinks with my money. She feels bad, and I honestly feel guilty writing this to you, and she is truly amazing. I feel like he wrote the first half, and then she walked into the room and is looking over his shoulder. But it's tough, not only for me, but I know this is not easy on her, but her body sometimes as well. I just want her to be all right and for us to be able to have a good, healthy time. I'm not quite sure what to do here. Am I right to tell her that she's got to take it easy, particularly when we go out, because it seems to be working? Do I have to set a better example and drink less, if at all? Yeah, I mean, if she's a fucking booze hound, maybe you both try to drink a little bit less. She might be one of those people, you know, where once she has a kid, she'll just fucking knock all that shit off. Or,
oh God, I could just drive her over the edge completely, where she just stays hammered all the time.
Yeah, you'll have a drunken baby, you know. Coming out, fucking...
Stop emailing him Bill Burr and start emailing Drew Pinsky.
kid comes out dressed like Foster Brooks. I love Foster Brooks.
The simulated drunk comedian dude.
Oh, yeah.
Dude was fucking hilarious.
Hilarious, and he never really drank. Yeah, the way...
Foster Brooks.
But
he had it down to like
reference.
Dude, that's back when like being an alcoholic was like funny.
Right.
This is how much I have to be careful, though, is talking about all that drinking made me want to drink.
Right.
Like, I love it. I fucking
I hate how it makes me feel though now. So I kind of
Craig Robinson didn't drink for a year, and then we just had drinks in Arizona this past weekend.
Uh-huh.
We felt like trash both mornings that we drank.
Oh yeah.
And so he was like, "Yeah, I thought I was back after taking a year off. I thought I was back, but I'm good on drinking, I think." I was like, "Yeah, man, I don't feel good either. I had a headache every day that I woke up."
It's an age thing. Like, it's really, it's a young person thing. Like, it like.
But we had fun. We were down to, like, when we were doing those shows, those theater shows, and we would go to, like, the cigar bars.
Oh, yeah.
And have a drink with cigars.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, I still like, I think what I my drinking maybe will be is, like, this year when I go on the road, I think, like, if I go out for 3 days, like, that middle day.
Yeah.
Not the first night because I traveled, and not you know, the night before I have to go to the airport, but just that middle one and right. finding a good place. I don't know. That might be the way. Oh, dude, you know what I went to last night? Oh, my God. I went to this 80s, like, all these bands. This crazy fucking lineup.
Was it the real bands or was it tribute bands?
No. It was like, dude, it was, what was it? Like Drama-Rama. Remember them?
Holy shit.
I can't remember the song. They said Flock of Seagulls, The Romantics.
They were all really there?
Tone Loc.
Oh, my God.
Fucking The Violent Femmes, Melly Mel, then The Furious Five.
Yeah, Furious Five.
And Boy George Closed.
No way.
Dude, it was fucking... Where was this? This was at the Microsoft Theater, which used to be the Nokia. Me and Nia went down there, and... it was fucking awesome, but I learned a lot about show business watching those people. You could tell, like, who was sick of singing their hits,
right.
and who was also like, fuck this, I'm bringing it.
Right.
And then I also learned, you know, watching, you know, you got to take care of yourself.
I have a story about that.
Because yeah. I swear to God, dude, if you see a band that let themselves go, it's like depressing. Like yours, because you love them, and they look like shit. And then all you're thinking is like, "Oh my God, I'm fucking 20 years older than he was when he put that song out." Oh fuck, we're all gonna die. But when you just see a band come out and they kept themselves in shape and they're fucking killing it, as much as they're older, it's like I'm not gonna name names, but I saw one band that made me think like, "Dude, I'm never drinking again." And then when I saw the Violent Femmes,
yeah.
Like, dude, they just came out and were just a fucking tight, sick-ass band. Like, I watched them. I was like, man, I want to go play drums. I want to practice. I want to get better. Like, there was nothing, like, negative about watching them. They just came out. And they went on after Melly Mel
and Furious Five,
who fucking killed.
Right.
And you couldn't be more of a different band.
Right. Polar opposites.
Like, literally, like the stage would just turn.
Oh, yeah, that's badass. They did that at the iHeartRadio Music Festival thing. They have, like, the stage would rotate 180.
Yeah.
And then they'd have the band, and then they'd do the set dressing behind, and then it would keep turning.
Dude,
badass.
I loved it. They got, like, down in Anaheim, they had it, and, like, Salt and Pepper was on it, and a couple other people. Dude, it was fucking nuts. You just knocked out... like 10 of the bands that I should have seen back then.
Right.
And, you know, they all sounded great. There was just, I'll tell you off, it was just one person that I looked at and it was just like, my God. But he was still singing great, but it's just like, fuck, dude.
Right. See, we saw Cameo like 6 months ago down, I can't remember, but it was like by the water somewhere here in LA. And Roger Troutman, I remember Roger Blackman, wasn't that? Yeah.
What songs does he sing?
She's on a brick.
Oh yeah,
house.
Okay.
Although, so, dude, he came. You know, because he used to come out in like leather chaps and a cup. You know.
Oh yeah, it was the '70s. Yeah,
right.
Fucking dude, Coke spoon around his neck.
Dude, he's still doing this. Like he came out with the belly. You know, like bad hips and knees, and he's still wearing a cup. But he was like his leather pants in the back looked like a diaper.
Oh.
And he would come out and he does like do this little like trying to be sexy and swivel his hips. And my wife was dying laughing. She was like, "He needs to fucking stop."
Yes,
like, stop doing that.
No, but like, even when you keep yourself in shape.
Yeah, he was not in shape. He was.
You can't do that sexy shit. And that, I'm telling you, that is a self-involved baby boomer thing that is being passed down. Like, Dude, Madonna is in unfucking believable shape for her fucking age. But when she starts twerking, it's just like, Mom, stop it. What are you doing?
Right.
You can't. Yeah. And then it's like the older guy. What you got to do is you got to like, I used to talk to DeRosa about this. You know, you got to dress like Dana White.
Right.
When you get older, right? Like Dana White is roughly my age. Dana White, you know. He wears a suit. He wears the collared shirt. Doesn't have the tie.
Doesn't have the tie on right at the top.
So he's a little bit relaxed, but he's dressed like he doesn't look like a creep. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But if he was to show up, you know what I mean? I'm not just putting it on him. I'm just saying that fucking look. Just you take a guy the same age, my fucking age, and you're gonna try to fucking pull off like a tank top. Like even like when you watch those P90X things, right?
The old guys that are working.
The 58-year-old guys with the abs. It's like, dude, amazing. Put your fucking shirt on.
Right.
Because there's nothing they can do for the loss of elasticity in your fucking skin.
Right.
Yeah, you're decomposing in front of me.
Like with avocado.
Yeah, they should be. You'd be sitting in a giant fruit bowl.
Oh my god!
Little fruit flies flying around you. So I learned a lot. Like I watched those bands, and it was the people that were comfortable with their age and kept themselves in shape and came out and were having a good fucking time.
Hell yeah!
It was just like, oh man, this is fucking great. And you would like, you just were really excited. But if they came out like. You know, they'd fucking, they're still fucking partying like, you know, Keith Richards back in the day. And then they're coming out and you're going to still wear like leather and shit.
Right. HD Net had this concert series a couple years ago and they would show these commercials for the concert series. And they showed Steppenwolf, right? You don't know. Yeah.
You can't find. Gonna come with me, little girl. And then that middle section that goes on for fucking ever. Remember you used to work in a warehouse. That whole fucking the psychedelic part,
yeah,
goes on for. Sorry, interrupted your story.
That's all right. But they would show like them playing concerts back in like the '70s, and it'd be jam packed arena and people going crazy in the crowd. And then they show them now, like it was smash cut from then to now. And now they're playing on like an outdoor stage, and the entire audience of only about 300 people are sitting on this lawn. In like lawn chairs, them. And I'm like,
I know because we're old too.
All the people that loved him back then are old now too. So I'm just like watching people perform at like Shady Acres Retirement Community.
I know, but those guys are like 70.
I know it's fucking.
I'm sure the band still sounds great and everything, but it's got
to
be weird.
Having fun, or they're just like, fuck, we still have to make money. I'm like,
And a lot of those guys, they got so stolen from and just completely ripped off. And then you add that if somebody got divorced and shit, you're going to be singing that song.
Ugh.
I just realized I crossed my legs wearing slippers in front of you. I'm sorry.
Those are great slippers.
They are great slippers. No, I finally bought some new socks and I want to try to keep them white for a while.
Is that a thing for you? That's why I wear black socks.
Oh, I can't wear black socks if I have on like dark sneakers though.
Why not?
I mean, I can't wear white socks with dark sneakers. No, if I have white sneakers, I need white socks.
Really?
Yeah.
I guess, yeah.
I have mostly white sneakers, no offense.
Okay.
No, but I think a lot of those guys, that's what ends up happening. So I think the way to do it is, and I haven't figured out how to get into the game yet, is you get to a certain point when you're at the height of your earning power. I think you should already be planning your graceful exit from this business because it's
your
so brutal.
Strategy.
So I think rather than going out and buying flashy shit, and fucking hovercraft and all the dumb shit that artists buy, start buying rental units.
Helicopter. There. Yeah.
I'm not buying a helicopter. I'd love to, but I can't. I can't justify
like maintaining it too. It'd be a fucking pain in the ass.
I got a kid now, man. I can't fucking smash cut. You know what's cool is I'm doing Irvine.
Yeah.
On Tuesday and Wednesday, you know
you're
like
flying down there.
You know it's like 2 hours of traffic. Oh, dude. Yeah. I'm renting a little 22.
Shut the hell up.
I'm going right over it in like 20 minutes.
Oh my god. That's fucking awesome.
It is awesome. Yeah.
Oh my god.
Dude, fuck. The five. I did my time. I'm not fucking funny. Doing it. Fuck yet another five. Comedian talking about how horrific the traffic was during the first 10 minutes. How about I go up there and be the comic who's in a good mood?
Right.
That's what people are coming out for.
About his 10-minute helicopter ride.
Oh, yeah.
That's fantastic.
Oh, right up and fucking over it. And this is the thing.
Wait. Able to land like in the in the parking structure?
I'm going
to
land right on the roof of the improv. No. We're trying to find, you got to call up. It's interesting. Like, every time you fly, you learn something. So I'm learning this time is like they'll have this, all these helipads. So you can even go beyond the airports because I was thinking like John Wayne. Right. Is close by, but then there's another one that's even closer. But then there's like these helipads on top of buildings and all just all around. But you just have to call them and tell them.
Are you going to fly down a solo?
No. I don't have confidence to fly at night. I fly solo during the day, but at night it's just a whole different ball game. And I'll never forget one night doing a night flight. I was with an instructor, and how you transition. The airspace at LAX is either you fly under, you're not underneath it, but you're along the coastline,
right.
Flying like 100 feet off the water, which is awesome and scary as shit.
Right.
Or you fly over Sepulveda, over like those glow stick things.
Yeah.
At like, you know, I think it's like 2,000, I've only done it once, like 2,000 feet or above. So at night we flew over the Sepulveda one, and you know, it's fucking freaky because there's all these jets coming in that if you're at the same altitude would T-bone you. So we're flying. I go, yeah, man. I go, look how big that airport. That's crazy. And how big these planes are landing here. And he just goes, yeah, there's one right there. And it was like almost underneath us. But because when you're looking down and there's not a lot of streetlights, there's just the lights from the city. I didn't see like a fucking, you know, 747, whatever the fuck they fly now. I don't even know what the numbers are anymore. It was like going right underneath us, and I was just like, wow.
You didn't see that?
No, but he did.
So, right.
This is when I was getting my license, so I didn't know how to look for shit and everything. So night flying is an entirely, entirely different game. So I'll be flying down with one of my instructors. So, but if it was the fucking summertime, though. But every time it's going to, by the end of the show, it's going to be dark out. But that is a goal of mine.
Right.
Was I would love to fly solo.
Now, let me ask you this. How much does it cost? Would it cost you to do that, to fly down? Because you have to, like, rent the vehicle and
pay the fuel and it's like $300. I mean, it's a decent amount of money, but it's also like...
That's not that bad, though.
Yeah.
It's not ridiculous. It's not, like, it's going to cost me $8,000, but...
No. Nothing like that. It's like $300, and then... and it's fun. And then I'm going to get another 2 hours under my belt flying at night. And I got this killer fucking instructor right now. My auto rotations are the best they've ever been, where
really?
They basically, so we'll fly around now and he just sort of like, he'll just out of nowhere go, you know, engine failure. And then you just have to pick a fucking spot and, you know, you just, I mean, we don't take it all the way down to the ground and I land on somebody's fucking front yard. But I have learned so much. I always had great instructors, but this guy that I have now is really got my confidence back up again, where for me, to go solo and everything would be, you know, I would have the confidence to do it. Nice. But what's good is I'm super fucking cautious. I'm not one of those people, you know,
right,
with the fucking 90210 look on my face, you know, show up with like a fucking scarf. No, but there's a lot of people that get their license, and once they get their license, they stop their training, and because they know how to fly, and then, you know, and then they just start flying around.
Oh my God!
Yeah.
Didn't you fly your parents?
Yeah, then when they came out here and visited. But I also did that with like an instructor, and that was.
Were they impressed? Your parents blown away that?
They had a good time. They're very conservative people, so you know, sometimes you don't necessarily know,
right,
what they're thinking.
They weren't going crazy.
They weren't going crazy. God, they were just like.
Nothing like
that was nice. It was very very enjoyable.
It was exhilarating.
My heart is beating out of my chest right now. No, my dad had a pilot's license. Has a pilot's license because once you get it, so like he
helicopter.
No, he had fixed wing, so he knew a lot of the shit that was going on. So you know, but my mother thought it was awesome. She loved it and wasn't scared at all. My dad, I think, because he had a license, understood probably more the danger of it and that type of shit. So he probably thought it was a little squirrely when we were 100 feet off the fucking water flying underneath. You know, the jets or whatever. But I tell you, it's one of the great things that I've done in my fucking adult life. And
I don't know. But we're not here to talk about me. We're here to talk about you. We've already done an hour and 15 minutes, just like that. Hey, can I come down the night of your taping?
Dude, I would want nothing more than
okay to
come down there.
All right. Well, some people, you know, like me, I'd be like, no, I don't want anybody there. Nobody I fucking know. So it's just one more thing for me to think about.
We're going to do like, you know, I'm going to be brought from off stage. I have another comedian opening for me, a guy named Frankie Quinones, who does the Cholo Fit videos.
Uh-huh.
And he usually tours with Craig and I. And so I'm going to have someone bring me on stage from off stage.
Uh-huh.
You got that fucking voice there.
Oh, yeah. I'll definitely do it. Yeah. I mean, just double check my schedule. I'm 99% sure I'm in town, right?
Okay. February 11th.
February 11th.
It's a Sunday there.
Yeah. What do I got? I got Reno. I got Santa Barbara. And then I got the Patrice O'Neill benefit towards the end of the month.
Oh, man.
That's
right. I met Patrice's mom and sister with you. That was fucking amazing.
Oh, yeah.
That was great.
They're the best. Hey, so I'll tell you this. When you do sound check,
yeah,
just make sure, speaking of Patrice, because I remember one time he did some taping and the sound wasn't right. And when it came time for him to do his taping, you know, they thought he was a pain in the ass, but he was like, "This sound isn't right." And he was like, "I want to be the loudest thing in the room." So make sure your monitors. So, you know, you got to just make sure that is right.
Right.
If that's fucking right, then it's like your lightsaber is totally on. And, you know that deal. If you get up there and you can't fucking hear yourself. And God knows when you go to tape, there's always somebody who fucks something like that. "Oh, I thought it'd be good to just have the sound way down, you know." Just make sure all of that shit's right, and then just go up there and kill it.
Yeah, that's the plan.
I've never seen you so fucking nervous, dude.
I'm not nervous. I'm just like, I'm anxious, and I know you are.
And it's like, wouldn't it be great if you were doing it tonight? I could tell this whole podcast.
Yeah. Well, also, I don't want to be loud because I know your daughter's leaving.
Oh, okay. I know, dude.
And I'm tired and a little bit hungover.
But other than that, and a little bit, yeah. I always want like this. Whenever I have one of those coming up, I just feel like, can you just bring me up now in my slippers,
right?
So I just go out there and just fuck it. Just do it. The waiting is the worst part,
right?
That's the worst. All right. Well, that's the podcast, dude. I'm so psyched.
I'm so thankful that you brought me on to do this.
I can't wait to see it, and I can't wait to promote the hell out of it, and I can't wait to see you finally getting your name out there and everybody knowing how fucking hilarious you are.
I need this more than anything in the world right now.
You got four fucking kids. They're going to be in college at some point, right? You're going to need this.
My oldest one's already out of college, so.
I know.
Yeah, that's crazy.
You got a nice spread there, right?
Yeah, 24 to 7, yeah.
24 to 7. There you go.
24-7 there.
All right, man. Todd Rex, everybody. Once again, if you're just walking into the room.
There.
Yeah, thesatellitela.com for tickets. I'll definitely be tweeting this out.
Appreciate it.
February 11th, it's a Sunday, 7:30 and 9:30 in Silver Lake, Los Angeles. It's the weekend after the Super Bowl, so you know you're going to be all depressed that football is over for another 6 months. Come on out and see one of the best comics I know. All right, that's the podcast. Go fuck yourselves. I'll check in on you on Thursday. Oh, jeez.